Welcome to Hype episode 153. My name is Selena. I'm joined by Merima this week for a Pam-less Comic-Con week Hype discussion. We have so much to talk about. How are you doing, Merima?
I am ready to go. I'm ready to attempt to be positive about things. I feel like we need to do that when Pam's not here. But
I know.
You know, it's probably not going to get off to a great start. But, you know, I'm sure we'll get there.
You know, it's such a good point. And yeah, we will definitely try to get positive. I mean, to be honest, this is a terrible week for Pam not to be here, because this is probably like the biggest news week we've ever had. Like literally it's all true. Of these stories, except like maybe one of them, I'm like, oh my God, I'm having so much to say.
It's true.
It's crazy. And it's like, this isn't even, because we're recording this on a Monday of the week of Comic-Con. So next week, there'll probably be like a million things more to talk about. So this is kind of like the storm before the even bigger storm, I guess. It's what's happening.
I feel like this is good because we're like getting these ones out of the way, and then we'll be ready to go clean into all the Comic-Con announcements. And like then Pam will be back next week to like run us through all of that stuff. So it'll be fun.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm trying to persuade her to post some Comic-Con stuff to our Instagram, which is at HypeableHype. So if you go check that out, then hopefully she'll have some fun pictures and stuff on there. That should be a good time. You can also check out at Hypeable on Instagram, where we'll have coverage up from San Diego Comic-Con. I hear it's a good time. Mm. Oh, I'm sure they're going to have a great time.
I was like looking back. Do you use that Time Hop app says like, oh, it says, for if anyone doesn't know, it's like an app that pulls on your social media and says what you were doing like on this day a year ago and 2 years ago and et cetera. Like this time of year is always flooded with Comic-Con things. And it's so funny looking back at it, because I'm like, there's like the Comic-Con stuff, and then there's the pre-Comic-Con stuff from like when I was working for Hypeable, but I hadn't been to Comic-Con yet. And it's all very like, I want to go to Comic-Con. Like, I'm so sad I'm in Australia. And now I'm like, girl, you don't even know. Like, like take the time, save the money, save the sanity. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, well, anyway, we'll hear from Pam next week. I'm sure she'll have some fun stories. I'm super sad I'm not going, but anyway, that's life. Anyway, we have a lot to talk about. We shouldn't be talking about ourselves, because there's entertainment news to get through. As always, we just want to remind you of the contact information. If you have any thoughts on everything that we're talking about this week, you can email them to us, hype@hypeable.com. You can tweet us at HypeableHype, and you can find us on Hypeable, which is hypable.com. You can also go to our Patreon if you're thinking about becoming a subscriber, or a Patreon supporter is the word for it. This week's bonus discussion is actually going to be an in-depth talk about one of the biggest news stories of the week, which was, of course, the Doctor Who casting announcement. We have a lot of thoughts, and I'm sure there's room for a more nuanced discussion than what we will get into in the news. So you can head on over to patreon.com/hypepodcast for information. And if you're a subscriber or a patron already, you can listen to the bonus audio. And we hope you check that out. And otherwise, just enjoy the regular show. That's words that I can speak. So, as always, we're going to start with how we hype, and Merima is catching up. Last week, I believe that me and Pam gave our in-depth discussion of this particular movie, and now it's your turn.
Yes, well, I finally got to see Spider-Man Homecoming before we recorded. Look, I haven't listened to your reviews of it yet.
Pam, where are you?
Oh, Pam, this is the moment we need you. No, look, I'm going to be positive after this minor deviation. I kind of found it funny at the time. I thought it was kind of silly, but it was okay, I guess. Like, I sort of enjoyed it in the moment, although I found, like, I just find teenagers making bad decisions to be really stressful. So, like, that bit wasn't enjoyable. And I was like, oh, Peter. Like, the whole time I was, like, kind of rooting for the bad guy, because I was like, I mean,
same. Peter, he had such a compelling story.
the villain was really great, I thought, in this.
Yeah.
were totally on board with all of that. And I also just kept thinking, like, every time something goes wrong and Peter's like, I guess I, like, won't be Spider-Man anymore, I'm like, yeah, that seems like a good idea because you're really bad at this and, like, you're a child, so just go to school. So there was that. And Tony Stark is, like, truly just my least favorite character, like, ever in anything. Same. And I hate him so much. And I enjoyed that this movie, like, this is the thing I don't understand, because, like, he was so well characterized in this film and he's still, like, the worst person in the world. Like, that is what he's characterized as. So I don't understand all the people who are, like, Team Tony, because just, like, a genuinely bad person. But, I mean, mostly I got out of it and then was like, oh, the women did nothing, and so I don't care about this movie.
Yeah.
Like, basically canceling out, like, any of the other stuff that happened in it. I think Tom Holland is great. You know, I actually think all of the cast in the film was really good. And that I think the women who were in it did a lot with the material they had, but, like, they just basically didn't have anything to do. And so I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I liked the film was, like, notably diverse in its sort of background casting. The problem was that it was mostly exactly that, like, visual. Background casting. Yeah. So it's kind of like set dressing almost, where you're like, oh, okay, we get it. He's, like, at this diverse school, but, like, it's still just about him, which, again, I understand, but, like, I'm not particularly interested in. So I think, like, the more I thought about it afterwards, in the moment, I, you know, I, like, laughed at some of the jokes and I really enjoyed Zendaya, but afterwards I was like, oh no, I don't think so. So yeah, I think that's probably more in line of your experience than Pam's.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, I won't
rehash
all my thoughts from last week, but it was pretty much exactly the same. Like, the fact that the women had nothing to, like, literally, they had no idea what was going on. That was the thing, is that they were clueless through the whole movie. You know, it was all the men were the active parties. That bothered me. Robert Downey Jr.'s, like, phoned-in performance really bothered me, on top of the fact that Iron Man, Spider-Man basically just became, like, a baby Iron Man, and I was like, why are we here again? Like, why?
Yeah.
And then I think on top of that, like, my issue with it was that I didn't laugh at the jokes. So I didn't even have a fun time. I was just like, eh.
You know? Oh, so even worse. Like, afterwards, like, an even worse review. Well.
But Pam liked it and my brother loved it. So.
The friends I went with really enjoyed it.
Tom Holland was so good.
Tom Holland is great.
Such a bright spot. Yeah.
He is really good. And I have to say, I just wanted to shout out in particular, I think he brings such a sort of athleticism to the role that you often don't get in this, obviously because he's a dancer and has that background, but, like, I think he is a star. Like, that kid is great
for sure.
And you know, I understand them basing around him because he's going to be able to carry this franchise, but it's just, like, a little disappointing.
Anyway, thank you for sharing your thoughts. I'm glad you got to see it as well. And if listeners, if you want to hear me and Pam's, and Pam's much more positive take on it, you can listen to our Patreon bonus segment or our brief discussion, like, last week or the week before. Lots of Spider-Man discussion here. And my Howie hype was the Netflix movie To the Bone, which is the quote-unquote anorexia movie that has been sort of making waves on social media by Marty Noxon, starring Lily Collins. That's yes. The right one. Not the Harry Potter character.
Oh, crossover.
I know. Wow. But yeah, no. So, I mean, this is the movie. It had been so discussed before its release. People were very busy having opinions about whether or not it should even exist before it had actually hit Netflix. And so I was very interested in checking it out. And if you have, like, any sort of history with eating disorders, or if you have any sort of awareness of it or know anyone who's gone through it, I'm obviously, everyone's going to have their own sort of set of feelings about this going into it, and their own sets of things that they need to consider. The Netflix, it actually opens with a big warning saying, you know, that you need to consider, you know, if you should watch this. And I think that's a warning that should be heeded, because this is obviously a movie that tackles, that it follows a girl with anorexia and follows her struggles as she, you know, has all of these issues with her family and herself and her place in the world and all of that. And Marty Noxon and Lily Collins have both struggled with eating disorders in the past. And so this is sort of a very personal project for them. And my sort of angle coming into this was that I found that I feel like at the moment there's sort of a really interesting thing happening in general in pop culture that there's a lot that could be talked about with this, but it's just basically the question of what should we be putting on screen? You know, what sort of issues should we tackle on screen? Who should be quote unquote allowed to tackle them? What should we sort of shield audiences from? What is considered art and what is considered exploitative? And there's all sorts of nuanced debates in that. So I wanted to see where To the Bone sort of fit into that. And in my opinion, my personal opinion is that I think it was really good. And I think I'm really glad that it exists. It's uncomfortable and it's close and it will definitely upset. Like if you're worried about if this will upset you, don't watch it because it might. But I feel like for people who are not either who feel so very alone struggling with an eating disorder or people who don't understand maybe that it's not like a just choosing not to eat food if you have anorexia or anything like that. Like it's very useful. It's a very specific look into this girl's specific experience. So it's not going to capture a universal experience, but I feel like it is. I don't know. I just feel like I'm glad it exists. It's not for everybody, but I'm glad that we live in a world where people are allowed to tell these stories, even when they're not for everybody, even when they don't capture a universal experience, but they capture a specific experience, and even when it's going to rub some people the wrong way. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like I'm glad that there isn't someone out there saying, you can't make this art because it might, I don't know. It's a tough thing, you know, it's a tough thing to talk about because I don't want to be like, oh, people shouldn't, like, it's okay that it offends people, that it hurts people or triggers people, because I don't think that at all. But I think that I'm glad that it's allowed to exist, even though it's possible that it does that.
Yeah.
Because it might help others.
I think, I think that's all totally valid. I obviously haven't seen this yet, but I've been kind of following the controversy with interest, actually. I think there are two sides of this, like just quickly, because I know you want to move on to the news, but like there is definitely the side that's this sort of, the like triggering side about what kind of warning should we put on things, like following on from 13 Reasons Why, like should we be making this kind of stuff, et cetera, et cetera. Then, I think I basically agree with you on all of that. Then there's the other side, which has been the other criticism that this has faced, which is like, from everything we've seen, this seems to be a story about like eating disorders affecting sort of attractive, very skinny white women and like all of this stuff. And I think that all of that is totally valid. Obviously, like you can speak to that better having seen it, but I didn't realize this was up already. I actually wanted to check it out for all the reasons that you've said. So I might give it a watch and then I can report back next week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think like I've been interested to sort of see people say, oh, this is what I hope it does or what I hope it doesn't do or whatever the like precursor to seeing it. And I would really hope that some of those critiques have been really nuanced and really clever. And like, I hope some of those people watch it and then provide their thoughts afterwards, because I would be really interested to like read those from people who have like had these experiences as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of like, that's why I love that it, and I feel like that's kind of the thing that I know Marty Noxon has been saying in interviews and stuff, and that what she wants is for this to spark a conversation. And what I think we're seeing is that it's doing that. And I think when we have sort of like a controversial, very triggering, very taboo issue like this, you're always going to go into it with your specific lens, you know, like no two people are going to watch this the same. Like when I've read a couple of think pieces, I read people saying that it glorifies people with anorexia and that they're all pretty and skinny. And I'm like, I see people who are like, when I look at Lily Collins in this movie, I'm not seeing an attractive thin actress. I'm seeing a person who is on the verge of death, you know, like she's so emaciated and her, like the way that they portray her sunken face and like I'm seeing a person whose body is like, I think they do a really, really good job of showing the physical effects of eating disorders and the other girls that you're sort of following as well. I also think what is so interesting reading some of the other criticism is that a lot of people are saying, well, I disagree with this because this is not my experience. And then you read the article, there's a really good one on the spinoff, which is saying, I had an eating disorder and To the Bone gets it almost completely wrong. And then she goes into detail explaining her experience and it's so different from this one. And I'm just thinking, well, first of all, like, it is going to be different because you are different. But it's also great that it is allowing her to share her experience. And the only thing I feel like it's important for me is that we're not saying this is not allowed to exist because I, A, disagree with it, or B, had a different experience. But all this criticism, even people saying they are wrong, sort of is important because it sparks a conversation. So to sum up, it's not for everybody. I think it did it things well, but I also really appreciate people who watch it and take time to write articles saying why they don't think it did well from their perspective, because those are equally important as, like, their perspective is equally important as Marty Noxon's perspective, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that completely makes sense.
So, yeah. Anyway, news? 15 minutes in, we haven't even gotten to the news. We have so much to discuss.
All right, let's get started with D23. So this is the huge, like, Disney convention that they have in California, and it's basically where they now seem to drop most of their news rather than waiting for San Diego Comic-Con. So this was, like, kind of Disney week, and there was a bunch of stuff about, like, the theme parks, and there was, like, that Star Wars hotel and everything that they announced. You can check all of that out over on hyperball.com. We're going to go through most of the movie stuff here, though. So I guess I'm just going to run through this in order. There's a lot. First of all, we found out that live-action Dumbo, this is the Tim Burton adaptation, has
the most important story.
Yes, well, look, Dumbo, it's in order. is going to be released on March 29, 2019. I don't think we need to discuss that further. We got the trailer for A Wrinkle in Time. Do you want to talk about this now or save it for later in the show?
Oh, I forgot that it was Disney, so I put it way later in the doc, but you can talk about it now.
Okay, well, this is the best trailer I've ever seen in my life, and this, it's going to be, like, so amazing, the best movie ever.
The trailer is better than most movies, let's be real.
So true. Look, before they release a trailer, they release these amazing character posters of the three misses of Oprah Winfrey, Mindy Kaling, and Reese Witherspoon. And they are, like, just the glorious, most amazing thing you've ever seen. But basically the trailer, obviously based on the book, it's so visually arresting. And, like, Ava DuVernay, obviously we know is a fantastic director, but, like, we've never seen her do something like this, and it's just on this huge scale. It's so over the top. It's so heightened. It looks amazing. I was getting, like, emotional and so excited just watching it, and I, like, can't even imagine what this experience must be like for a kid to go and see this, particularly for a young girl or a young woman to go and see this movie. But basically, we get a good look at Chris Pine. He kind of, as we've discussed before, he, like, gets whisked away somewhere, and it's up to his daughter, played by Storm Reid, to go and find him and save the day. And she just happens to not be white, and most of the misses just happen to not be white, and they all look amazing, and it looks so great, and I'm so excited.
I know, I'm so excited. Seriously, this trailer, I watched it, like, three times.
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
the best trailer ever made. And, like, everything about this movie is going to be so fantastic. I've seen nothing but positive reactions. Like Ava DuVernay is just what we need, you know?
Yes.
I'm so glad she's here. And I'm so glad she's tackling this. This looks, what I love about this too, and this maybe it's just my perspective, because I'm not familiar with A Wrinkle in Time. So for me, this is something brand new.
Yeah, same. It's like the foreign thing.
Like, exactly, yeah. And so I guess we're sort of lucky in the way that we're not thinking, oh, is it going to do the book justice? We're just like, it looks so good. But I think it will be good. And I think, like, no matter if you're coming at it already loving the book, it seems like people are excited if they already love the book, and it seems like people are excited if they have no idea what this is and are just excited to see Ava DuVernay do her thing. So, wow, I love it. That scene in the trailer with the houses when they're in that, like, Pleasantville, yes, type town, and they're like, are you lost? I'm like,
yes. Also, is so that good woman, I swear that woman who says, are you lost, is from Scandal, is the president's wife on Scandal. I was like, is that her? But then I just couldn't be bothered looking it up. I know. I just feel like if I say it on the podcast, someone will correct me and tell me who it actually is. Yeah, I can't believe we have to wait until next year to see this movie. Like, this is so upsetting to me. But that's fine, I guess. I'll just watch the trailer another 25 times. So that was amazing. Okay, we got some more news on Mary Poppins. I think we knew most of this, but anyway, they're confirming that this is the Mary Poppins starring Emily Blunt, that it's going to be taking place 20 years after the original, and we get to see Ben Whishaw as the adult Michael and Emily Mortimer as Jane. So hopefully we get to see, you know, something from that soon. There was casting news for Aladdin. I think we've reported on this, that they were having a lot of trouble finding someone to actually play Aladdin, and that's certainly a comment on Hollywood's lack of diversity. But they have finally found, I believe he's Canadian, a Canadian actor, Mina Massoud, who will play Aladdin. Naomi Scott is going to play Jasmine, and Will Smith has been officially confirmed as the genie. any thoughts?
I knew we thought he was going to be Dumbo.
Yeah.
I feel like we already knew the Will Smith thing, but he had been announced or rumored for both Aladdin and Dumbo, so yeah. We were kind of unsure. But I think actually on the genie, I think it's pretty good that they're getting Will Smith in, because he is funny and he is cool and he is very, very different from Robin Williams. So he's going to be a fun, fresh new face. I really love fresh. I really love Will Smith, so I'm cool with that. As for the lead, I think the lead actors, there had been so much talk on Twitter because people were so worried about them getting this casting wrong, but feel like they've done a really good job. Like Naomi Scott's, I believe one of her parents is Indian, which is I don't know the actors.
Well,
is he Indian? Is he where is he from?
I'm not sure. I think he has a right background. I've definitely seen a lot of people excited about him, and I think people are generally keen for a sort of unknown to take the lead.
Yeah.
I have seen a little bit of criticism of the Naomi Scott casting, saying that Jasmine should be from a sort of Middle Eastern background, and that she's not, that it's sort of colorism, because Naomi Scott is quite light skinned and Jasmine is like noticeably dark, and some people were, I guess, hoping for that sort of, understandably, like hoping to see that representation play out in this. So yeah, there are a bunch of like think pieces around if for people who want to check that out, but I haven't seen anything critical of him, so I guess people are on board with his casting.
And I think with Naomi Scott, I think that what it is, like, she is well known enough, you know, Power Rangers and everything, that she might be a familiar face, which I think they're quite interested in. So I think in that sense they quote-unquote compromised, you know, which is not, like, we would prefer like an actual Arab actress, but I don't know, I understand Disney's reasoning behind this, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
I'm very, very happy with the guy who they got for Aladdin.
Yeah, I think it just like speaks to the fact that they had so much trouble casting this because like these actors just don't get roles in Hollywood, so like if they're trying to find a known face, as it were, which I agree, like I totally understand why. Like, there just isn't the pool, apparently, to draw on, because, like, they're not getting these kinds of roles or, like, other roles that people will have seen them in previously, which is, you know, very upsetting for a variety of reasons.
Are they going to be singing in this? Or is this, like, Mulan that they're going to cut the
song? Yes, I think this one has songs.
Interesting.
It's so hard to keep track. All right, we also got some Star Wars news, but we're going to hold that until we finish going through this. And then nothing much for Marvel, but there was a sort of behind-the-scenes video of Infinity War that had the first bit of footage in it. So we're thinking maybe there'll be something coming out of Comic-Con, and we'll get sort of the big announcements there, because they do tend to hold the Marvel announcements for the big panel that they have at Comic-Con. So then heading over to animation, we got some news on Toy Story 4. The director has now changed to Josh Cooley. So he directed the Inside Out Riley's First Date short. I mean, if anyone is excited for Toy Story 4, like, I'm not sure. I guess people are. People really like Toy Story, huh?
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, we're maybe not the target audience, but that's that's fine. They announced a new Pixar original, more exciting. This is going to be from Monsters University director Dan Scanlon, and it is set in a world with no humans, only elves, trolls, and sprites. He says, in the film, we're going to tell the story of two teenage elf brothers. Yeah, right. Whose fathers died when they were too young to remember him. But thanks to the little magic still left in the world, the boys embark on a quest that will allow them a chance to spend one last magical day with their father. So that sounds fun. I mean,
that's breaking my heart already.
Yeah. I hope, hopefully the world has women in it too, but I guess we'll find out. But yeah, you know, that sounds cool. I'm definitely on board for that. Like kind of fantasy fun Pixar. That sounds great. We got some news for the Wreck-It Ralph sequel, which is like huge, that basically every Disney princess ever is now going to be in it. So we have Moana, Anna from Frozen, and these are all going to be voiced by their original voice actresses. So like Mandy Moore is going to be in this. Paige O'Hara from Beauty and the Beast is going to be in this. This is ridiculous. So that's very exciting for people, I think. Mm-hmm. That's like a fun crossover. Then really the most important piece of news, which what we've been building to, The Incredibles 2. It is still happening. Everyone get excited. Festival. My favorite movie that hasn't come out yet. And they said that that this film is really going to focus on Mrs. Incredible. And Mr. Incredible is going to be home with the kids.
Elastigirl.
Yeah, Elastigirl is out just saving the world and kicking ass. But also this is going to be about, you know, the family, etc.
Everything is women.
Yes.
It's amazing.
So we could get excited about that. Although, again, like we have to wait a while to see The Incredibles but two. But I mean, that's cool, I guess. So, yeah, that's all the D23 news as far as the movies and everything goes. Check out the rest over on hyperball.com. And whew, now we're ready for Comic-Con.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I know. Well, there's a little bit of D23 news still to go. As Merima said earlier, we have some Star Wars news. D23 brought us not only gorgeous red and black Star Wars character posters showing only like the bottom half of their faces and beautiful red Riding Hood cloaks that they're all wearing. We have Rey, Finn, Poe, our heroes, Luke, Leia, and what's his face? I hate him so much.
Kylo Ben.
Kylo Ren.
Ben.
Like, is he in this movie? I totally forgot.
Remember him? Oh, what a shame. I'd rather have Phasma.
I know, it was so happy. And then he's just like, mope. Anyway, not the time. So, I mean, those are gorgeous. And then we had a video, like, it's amazing. Like, as listeners of Hype know, like, there's very few things that I can, like, kick my ass into gear and actually care about. Like, most things, I'm just like, you know, Spider-Man level of excitement. But the few things include The Hundred and Star Wars. Every time I see something Star Wars, I'm like half crying. It's amazing. And this behind the scenes video is no exception. It's so emotional. And that's before you even get to the Carrie Fisher bit, which just, you know, it's just unfair.
R.I.P. us. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. But no, this is The Last Jedi is already my favorite movie. Like, it's going to be so good. And just looking at Rey sort of training and looking at, there's going to be a storyline involving Poe and Finn and Rose, who is the new character that we're so excited to see. There's Luke and there's Leia. And we see Chewie just being sad, you know, because Han is dead. And that's super emotional. There's a little bit of a scene that kind of indicates that Rey and Finn will be on, like, actually part of the movie, they will be in the same place, which I'm happy about because I really, really enjoy their team up in the first movie. And I was kind of sad, like, even though I'm super excited for like the other trio's adventure, I was kind of worried that we're going to have, and we might have this anyway, but like most of the movie is going to be Luke and Rey off to one side and the others off to another side. So I hope we see them reunite because I love them. And there's some shots of the new planet. There's a bunch of new, like, this is basically Fantastic Beasts in space. Lots of new creatures that are super cute and probably super scary when we get to see them. We see a little bit of Laura Dern. We see a little bit of Benicio del Toro, who are newcomers to the Star Wars universe. And it looks so good. Have you seen it?
Have I seen it? Yeah, I've watched this only...
How many times have you seen it?
Only comparable with the amount of times I've watched A Wrinkle in Time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, same as you. I mean, Star Wars is one thing that I continue to, like, just lose my mind over, and that's great. Like, they do this promotional stuff so well that, yeah, every time you're watching it, you're like, oh, it's so emotional, yeah. And, like, so all that's epic. Happened is they've showed you the title card.
Yes.
So they do really well. I'm so excited for this movie. Like, I have lost my mind a little bit about this, but the footage looks so great. Like, I never know if I'm more excited about, like, seeing the actual footage of what's going to be in the film, or just, like, seeing them hanging out and, like, being friends on set. I just love that they're all, yeah, like, this family. It makes it better somehow. Like, there's a brief scene of Oscar Isaac, like, hugging Carrie Fisher, and I was like, okay, my heart is broken forever. Like, all right. But yeah, I mean, the footage looks amazing. There's that scene of Rey running, like, you know, looking directly into the camera, which I was like, that destroyed me. I love getting to see, like you said, a lot of the team ups that we're going to get to see in this. See, these are like fun spoilers, right? Because you're like, oh, cool. Yeah. Like, these characters are actually going to get to see each other in this movie. That's like the stuff I want to know. I don't want to know, like, the plot of how that plays out. But it's just like, that's the builds anticipation so much. So, yeah, this was amazing. I was very into this. And the posters are so beautiful.
So beautiful. Yeah, and even more epic with that you only see half their faces. Even that, I'm like,
ah. I know. Even so, that you're like, oh, it's perfect. Star Wars is perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, one last piece of Star Wars news before we move on. Less than perfect, but this one isn't Star Wars' fault. Listeners of Hype might remember that hashtag Where's Rey campaign from 2015, which was directed at Disney and sort of all the people doing Star Wars merch, because Rey, like, wasn't in any of the toys despite being literally the lead character. Like, who does The Force Awaken in, guys? Spoiler alert, it's Rey. But people have been kind of checking back in on this, like, now about 18 months later, and it turns out you still can't get the Star Wars Monopoly in America with Rey in it, which was, like, one of the big ones that people were after. So Hasbro released a statement that said, in early 2016, Hasbro updated the 2015 Star Wars Monopoly game to add a Rey token, very nice of them, saying, this product was sold to retailers in several markets around the world, but is not available for sale in the US due to insufficient interest. Retailers had ample inventory, so they did not choose to sell the new version. So, well, apparently if you
why
contact...
Why do you think no one was buying the first version?
Right. Apparently if you contact Hasbro, they'll, like, send you a token, a Rey token, or at least that's what they were doing on Twitter for a bit of publicity.
Hey, that's what we call a token female.
Yeah. Literally. Truly, like, this is so ridiculous. I mean, they should have just recalled the first one and, like, released the new one, but obviously they don't want to lose any money, which is so ridiculous. I mean, these are the things that are just make you want to rip your hair out of your skull, because, like, Star Wars is getting things really right, and, you know, we're seeing a lot of movement, and then, like, just it doesn't extend to the merchandising section. Like, do these people not talk to each other? It's like, you know, it's like making a Hunger Games theme park. Like, it's just fundamentally at odds with what it is that they're trying to do. So that's upsetting. But I don't know. Go over on Twitter and, like, tell Hasbro how you feel about it, I guess, if you have strong feelings.
Right, I believe J.J. Abrams sent out a little note saying, you know, something about, like, there should be sufficient interest or something. It's very cute.
Yes.
Go check that out. Standing by his girl. All right, so moving on to what is, I don't know if I'm going to call this our favorite movie of all time, but the book is definitely a hype classic. Ernest Cline's Ready Player One, one of the first unofficial hype book club entries, is being made into a movie by Steven Spielberg, and there's going to be a big unveiling at SDCC this week, probably a trailer, but we've already had our first photo of lead character Wade/Percival, played by Ty Sheridan of X-Men Apocalypse fame. He's in his hideout in his van. You see all these pictures on the wall. He's in the Oasis, so you see him wearing his, like, reality glasses and his glove, and he's standing there, And you'll see all kinds of, I mean, obviously one of the fun things about seeing this movie brought to life is that the book is full of pop culture references and full of pop culture figures as well. And we're wondering sort of which of them are actually going to, like, which of them they got the rights to basically for the movie. And in this picture, you can glimpse Garfield, a Star Trek lunchbox, the Garbage Pail Kids, and a bunch of other Easter eggs that help give an idea of what we might, you know, expect to see, not only in Wade's truck, but also perhaps in the Oasis itself. So that should be super interesting. And I'm not going to make any sort of wild judgments about Wade's physique, because I obviously don't know what part of the movie this is, but I will say that I'm fully expecting them to drop the part where he's, like, for most of the book, he's actually, like, you know, he's overweight, he's, the way he describes himself anyway, is, like, not, you know, conventionally attractive, and it's sort of, I think for a lot of people reading the book, it's very important that he is still a hero, even though he has that weird, like, training montage halfway through the... Sorry, I'm, like, spoiling everything. I hope that's okay. I'm spoiling his fitness routine here. but, I mean, for the movie, there's going to... I mean, I doubt there's going to be three versions of Wade. I don't think there's going to be a before and after and Parzival version. I think it's they're just going to keep him looking like Ty Sheridan, which I'm disappointed by, but I guess, you know, it's Hollywood and, you know, that's
what it's not surprising.
Yeah, exactly. It's disappointing, not surprising. But the picture looks great.
Yeah, the picture looks fun. I kind of forgot that, like, the plot of this movie just basically requires someone standing in a room with glasses on, like, because there's so much action in the actual book that I kind of forget, like, oh, that's not, they're not actually doing that. So this was funny because I was like, oh, yeah, it's just people in rooms, like, wearing headsets.
Yeah, and it's probably going to be the same actor. I feel like maybe I'm totally misremembering we had this news already, but I feel like it's just going to be the same actor inside the Oasis as outside the Oasis. So they're not going to, because we were speculating they were going to cast a Wade and a Parzival.
Yeah, like, multiple.
Looks like. Yeah, it's just going to be the same guy. So that kind of, that's weird, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel like for our lead characters, it's probably going to be the same. And then for some of the other side characters, other people, we're not meant to kind of know what their deal is.
Yeah.
We might get sort of two versions.
And that kind of ruins, like, the whole point of the story, that they have avatars that they hide, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I guess maybe they're going to have, like, a really elaborate sort of, maybe they're going to have sort of masks or something in the Oasis, or, you know, things to kind of conceal their identity a little more. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. Maybe it'll be like, you know, he puts glasses on when he gets to Oasis, like the reverse Clark Kent. And he's like, now I'm in disguise. But yeah, I think the photo looks good. And I think you're totally right. Like, the one of the fun parts about this is going to be trying to go through and find all of the Easter eggs. Like, there's sure to be millions of them in the film. And so that's exciting. People can check out the photos.
Yeah. All right. So moving on this week, I mean, on top of all the other big news, we also had the Emmy nominations for 2017. And to be honest, like, basically, you can scroll down this, and it's not that there aren't good parts of it, for sure, but you can basically look, it's This Is Us, This Is Us, This Is Us, Westworld, This Is Us, House of Cards, This Is Us, The Handmaid's Tale, This Is Us, Veep, 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 Modern Family. And there are obvious, like, other exceptions to it. I know Donald Glover got nominated for Atlanta, which is really good, and Aziz Ansari for Master of None, all of the nominations for Handmaid's Tale, which, including Alexis Bledel, which is cool.
Carrie Fisher.
I have yet to see that. Carrie Fisher got nominated for her final role. There's very, very good parts of this, and I'm sure you have some that you want to pull out to discuss. The only one that I sort of have that I'm like, other than I feel like especially in the main comedy and drama categories, it was so inside the box that it kind of tired me a little bit, was that I think it is absolutely the most ridiculous thing in the world that Shannon Purser got nominated for Stranger Things, because hashtag Barb deserved better. Like, I am so over that.
Oh, right, because Winona Ryder didn't even get nominated, did she?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, she did not.
I mean, that's stupid. Like, that's just straight up really, really silly. This just reminded me. I actually watched The Handmaid's Tale. I started watching it last week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I started watching it.
What did you think?
I really liked it. It's really horrible to watch.
Yeah.
It was rough.
That's why I've been putting it on.
We had a couple wines, which helped, but we watched an episode, and then it was like, do you want to keep going? And I was really like, oh, this is great, but like, I just genuinely don't want to watch any more of it right now. It's really, really good. It's just like harrowing AF, basically. Mm-hmm. And for our current moment, it was like, it's rough going. But I'm really excited to see all of the nominations that it picked up, particularly Alexis Bledel, who is already fantastic in it. And I, before I watched it, I saw people say like, this was going to be her role of her career. Like, and I think that I can totally understand where they got that from. I'm very excited that The Crown got nominated for drama because I really love that.
I love The Crown.
Didn't make any secret of that. I mean, The Handmaid's Tale, obviously. Also, speaking of Handmaid's Tale, I'm also really pleased to see that Samira Wiley got a nomination. She is great. She kind of has a bit of a starring role in the first episode. And yeah, it's just really, really good. But yeah, I mean, the other dramas, like, I kind of don't really watch any of these shows because, like, as we've discussed previously on Hype, I like my TV to be a little lighter. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really down to sit through like these sort of miserable things, although I have been meaning to watch The Americans forever. So I guess
same.
There's that.
Yeah, me too.
Everyone says it's fantastic.
Really good.
Yeah, and because all of my historian friends are like, oh, it's actually like a really great depiction. So there's that. And then for
all the nominations for Big Little Lies, I really need to watch that one.
Yeah, true. I mean, and then all of the comedy stuff is, like you said, like there's not much surprising in here. Yeah. There's SNL.
I cannot wait till Veep and Modern Family end.
Well, Veep is really funny. Like, I really like Veep. So I
don't like it because I don't like anyone who takes my name.
Okay. Fair. Veep is like hysterically funny. So I think it deserves all its nominations, but it does take some of the excitement possibly out of this. I was excited to see Aziz Ansari get the nomination for Master of None because I really enjoyed the new season of that. So that was really fun. And I also was pleased to see that Samantha Bee got a nomination in the Variety series along with like all the men. So that was good. Any others that you noticed?
I'm just looking through it now. Like, no, I mean, that's the thing is that actually like there is a lot of good. I feel like I came up a little strong, but I get so tired when I see these dramas that are sort of like This Is Us and Westworld and Modern Family, and it's just I wish there's so much TV that isn't being recognized that I feel like should be, but I do think that in all fairness there is some standout. I'm glad to see The Handmaid's Tale getting a lot of acknowledgement, and I'm glad in a lot of the actor categories also have a lot of diversity, which is really good to see.
Yeah, it's good to see. We shouldn't Blackish and Atlanta both got the nomination for comedy.
Yeah.
And I think Tracee Ellis Ross got a nomination for Blackish. Another show that I haven't watched, but I like frequently see GIFs and like YouTube videos of like different bits of it, and it looks hilarious. So, and really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think there's definitely like some diversity across the actor category. So that's good. But it's also basically just the same people over and over.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll leave Emmys there. And then one final story, obviously, I'm sure you guys didn't think we were going to skip this. But I don't know if you heard, there was some Doctor Who casting this week, and some people have some concerns about it.
Yes, actually, you know what? Same. I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, this is terrible. So we found
this
out
is crossing a line.
First of all, I just need to be like so clear because I keep seeing people be like, this is outrageous. Doctor Who is always a man. And I'm like, first of all, their name is not Doctor Who. Like, that is the name of the show. That, like, I understand that this is being pedantic, But like at this point, if you're getting angry about them like gender flipping this, you need to get the name of the character right. Or like, I don't
also
care.
Also, Doctor
about
Who is not a man. Doctor Who is an alien.
Exactly. But also, like, his name is a Doctor Who. So anyway, yes, after Wimbledon, they released, the Doctor Who PR team released a short video that you kind of see this figure walking from the back with this hood on, and you're thinking, like, oh, I wonder if this is, like, a white guy. But turns out it's a white lady.
Colin from Love Actually.
Yeah, exactly. So we found out that Jodie Whittaker is going to be the 13th Doctor, taking over from Peter Capaldi for the new season. This is going to be like a total clean slate. So we're going to get Whittaker. We also have the new showrunner, Chris Chibnall. And then we've just lost Bill as a companion. So like, we don't know what's going to be happening.
I heard about that. I'm so shocked. I cannot believe they did. I'm so mad about that. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, I was a little sad when I heard, because obviously I'm not watching it, but I was a little sad when I heard that, because I don't know. It seems like kind of a shame to not have the continuity. And plus, she's such a great character, obviously, for numerous reasons. But I also understand the showrunner wanting to have a sort of clean break and be able to like do what they want with the character. Like, Stephen Moffat was able to do that with Matt Smith. You know, Chris Chibnall will now be able to do that with Jodie Whittaker. So for those who don't know, she's probably best known for Broadchurch, but she's also been in like just a huge range of particularly like British production. She's done theater, she's done TV, she's done film.
She's done Attack the Block with John Boyega. Yes. Hello, crossover.
Exactly. So yeah, so she is going to be introduced at the end of the Christmas special. The Christmas special is Peter Capaldi's final episode, and he has adventures with the First Doctor, who is being played by David Bradley, who played that Doctor in that, like, I can't remember what it's called, but it was like a adventure in space and time, whatever, that sort of behind the scenes about Doctor Who special. That they had a little while ago. So he's reprising the role. They're going to go on adventure together. And then we are going to see the regeneration into Jodie Whittaker getting ready for the next season. So, Selena, what are your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying very hard to contain most of my thoughts for the bonus episode because I could easily just vomit them all out here. But I will say very succinctly that the criticism that she shouldn't be, that the Doctor can't and shouldn't be a woman, is ridiculous. The note that this is yet another example of Hollywood transitioning from white males to white females instead of diversifying with white males to men of color is valid, but the two are not mutually exclusive. You can feel both feelings. Jodie Whittaker is not, I mean, she's not Hayley Atwell, let's be real, or any of the other women that we had sort of been theorizing, but you know what? I'm super stoked. I think this is great. Good for them. I'm here for it. The end. I will say more in the special.
Yes, I think we'll leave it there. So if you want to hear more about this, you can head over to patreon.com/hypepodcast. We are going to be talking about this in much more detail for our bonus section this week. And yes. And we have some of your thoughts on it that we'll get to in listener feedback.
Okay, so let's move on to Game of Thrones episode of the week. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait.
It's going to be
wait,
the title of the
yes.
segment for the next 6 weeks. You guys, Game of Thrones is back. Season 7 started airing this week. This Sunday was the premiere episode. Arya and the gang are back to slay, and I'm so excited. Did you watch it? What did you think?
I did watch it. I thought it was I had mixed feelings. There were a couple moments that I was like, yes, amazing. And then there were a lot of moments that I was like, guys, like, we have seen this show before. Too much exposition. But,
yeah,
you know,
I guess.
That's just the curse of the premiere episode, I think.
Yeah.
Look, I guess no spoilers because it just came out, but Arya's scene, the opening scene in this is amazing. God. I love it. I loved Sansa in this. Always fantastic. Oh, I forgot her name. What's that little girl's name? Who's the...
Liana Mormont.
Yes, Liana Mormont, yeah. Who, like, needs to rule the world forever, as far as I'm concerned.
God, yes. I hope she wins.
I was like, I was watching it being like, wait, can she end up on the Iron Throne? Mm-hmm. Like, is that... Can her and Sansa can co-rule it, and Arya can be, like, their attack dog. Yeah, I think it was good. It was definitely, like, setting up the pieces. It kind of opens with a bang and then is a little slower in kind of the rest of it, but like, that's fine. We need to, you know, just remember what everyone is up to, and Cersei has helpfully painted a giant map on her floor so that we can do that.
Like, meta the opening credits on her floor.
Yeah, so actually. But yeah, did you like it?
But yeah, no, I did like it, and I had really positive.
Oh, good.
With like very few exceptions, I thought that this was a spectacular episode, and I actually thought that this is another, like, continuing our theme of the future is female. Like, it's becoming very clear that the future of Game of Thrones, like, it started as a patriarchy and it's now becoming a matriarchy. And I think that is so great. And I think even when you have characters like Jon Snow, like, it's very, very clear that he is Ned all over again, and that if he doesn't listen to Sansa, no spoilers, that's gonna end badly for him.
Yeah, although their fight was very stressful, because I was like, no, just be friends. Like, just I had to pause it and make a cup of tea and come back, because I was like, guys, stop fighting.
I know. I'm not in the, like, I know we have a bunch of hypeable people who are like actively shipping them. I'm not in that.
Oh no,
camp,
I just like
definitely like team them.
I'm team like being a team. Yeah, stock team. Yeah. Like, But Sansa's response to Littlefinger, truly like the greatest moment in the show to date.
Why is he there? Like, him and then like one of the characters, I can't remember who it was, but them I was like, oh yeah, Ed Sheeran. What the hell is he doing there?
Yeah, that was like, really
to ruin
silly.
Everything. Went on for way too long. Well, I hate, like, my squick is when people, they bring on singers to sing in TV shows. Like, I hate that. I hate it in The Hundred.
Well, they've done it a bunch in Game of Thrones, right? They didn't have that Coldplay guy.
This was the most obnoxious.
Yeah, this was. I think also that, see, there are a couple scenes in it. I really liked the episode, but there are a couple scenes in it that were a little heavy-handed.
A couple of slow scenes.
And, and that was one of them. The Jaime Cersei stuff were dragged a little bit for me. But, I mean, otherwise, like, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, as a Danish person, it was extremely grating to watch Nikolaj Coster-Waldau and Pilo Asbæk, who are both Danish, interact in the throne room, because their accents are terrible, especially Pilo Asbæk's, who actually went to the same school as me, Heidelberg.
Oh, really?
Denmark is that small.
That's hilarious. Wait, was that the guy who was like the, is that the
Euron
Greyjoy? The, like,
looks like Pacey,
like,
from Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, well, I was like, oh, Jack Sparrow's here now? Like, what's happening?
right. Yeah, no, that was him. And his accent, I cannot stand, but it was very good. The Sam bit was very slow. I feel like dragged on a lot. The Hound stuff, I liked the Hound stuff, but it also feel like a drag. It, basically, any scene with no women in it, I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's true. Why are we here? Get back to the real stuff. The Sam stuff, I just have to say, like, made me feel so ill. That first kind of montage of it with Sam, I was like, oh no. Like, I think I'm going to throw up. Yeah. So yeah. Gross.
And I think for me, I mean, the best bits were definitely the Sansa stuff and the Arya stuff at the beginning. And then I feel like the end montage with Daenerys and Tyrion and Missandei and Grey Worm at, no spoilers, but they arrive at a place. And it's that entire sequence, it's almost wordless. And it's so epic. And I really feel the weight of that moment, and it feels like it's been 7 years in the making, and I really, really enjoy getting there and seeing what's going to come of that. So I really like that, and I feel like it bookended the episode with very, very strong moments very well, and yeah, there were long bits in the middle, but I still, for the most part, thought it was a really solid return, and I'm really excited for next week. And I've seen the promo, and there is a thing that comes back, and I'm like, I'm so excited.
Oh, I haven't seen the promo yet.
Oh my god, I won't spoil it for you, but it's
okay, fun.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's Arya related.
Oh, wait, I think I know what this is.
Maybe.
Yeah, I I just one more thing on the ending. I thought actually it was kind of really nuanced for Game of Thrones in a way, like a little subtler than they often go with mm-hmm. these kinds of big moments, which I really appreciated. Like you yeah. said, I think really nice bookend, but like it, you didn't need to say anything and they didn't even go too heavy handed with the music, which was nice. So yeah, all the pieces are set and now we'll be ready for the season to kind of kick off.
Yes.
Even more so because as we know, it's a kind of truncated season. So yeah, but I think definitely a great opener. I'm very excited to see where it goes.
And we'll, hi listeners, you can probably expect this every week. So if you're not Game of Thrones fans, we are sorry.
Yeah, basically. But, so was, well, Pam might watch something else deal. Also, who knows?
That's true. Yeah, it's true. And oh, I did want to briefly mention, I know we're running long, but I just wanted to throw a quick plug in for The Bold Type, which is the new freeform show that is
based on
Cosmo and three interns, or they become, anyway, it's not important. They are, it's very cool. It's, I watched the pilot episode and I thought it was very sweet. It's it feels like it's gonna be very again with the females in charge, taking charge and expressing themselves and sort of, there is, you know, it's about love and it's about dating and et cetera, et cetera. But it was a bit of a hard turn from Game of Thrones to The Bold Type, two very different types of stories. But I really enjoyed it. And I think if you're looking for something that is, you know, a little bit 13 going on 30, a little bit Devil Wears Prada, but like empowering and fun and sort of that kind of drama, I think you'll really enjoy it. And I'm going to check out episode 2. And hopefully get back to you guys next week. But it's worth a watch for sure. Moving on to our listener feedback. So we're going to begin with some feedback from Patreon. And for people who have thoughts on the Doctor Who casting, if you want to think about becoming a patron again, you can check that out on patreon.com/hypepodcast. Do you want to get the first from Emmy?
Sure. Emmy says, I'm super excited about it. I just wish that Bill had stayed another season. I mean, a lesbian companion and a female doctor. But I understand that the new showrunner wanted to start completely fresh.
Mm. And Laura Morrow says, I think this is such good news. I also need to catch up. What seasons are a must watch before I start watching in the winter?
Oh, we can get to that in the bonus, I guess.
Good question. I guess, yeah, I guess we'll have to answer that in the bonus segment. Yeah. Off the top of my head, I don't even know.
I'll have to think about it. And yeah. And Ashley Bond says, I'm very excited. The show has been a little repetitive, and I think this will be a nice, refreshing start for the series. But why couldn't she be a ginger? I will never understand.
That's funny. It'll never be a ginger doctor. That's going to be, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Maybe we already had companions. So it's okay. Okay, so moving on to tweets. Thank you so much to our patrons for those questions and for submitting your feedback. And check on patreon.com/hypepodcast for our in-depth discussion on the Doctor Who casting news. Moving on to Twitter.
Yeah, Sarah Klein says, I guess you guys were talking about this. My favorite musical episode is the one from Scrubs. It's so great and worth a watch. It's called My Musical. This is actually... Oh, is this because we were talking about the terrible Grey's Anatomy musical?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Scrubs one is actually really funny. Because, like... Yeah. It's the Grey's Anatomy one, but it's intentionally silly. Mm-hmm. Well, Grey's Anatomy was trying to be a serious drama. Lols.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And Laura Morrow again says, were you guys aware that Tara from Buffy, Amber Benson, is a published author with several witch series? I definitely added them to my TBR.
Yeah.
I actually was. I'm not, I don't know.
I interviewed her about it at my first Comic-Con, I think.
Oh, cool.
So like many years ago now. But yeah, she was really fun and I haven't read the series, but like she seemed really cool and like was so excited about all that stuff. So that's fun. You'll have to report back on what you think of them.
Yeah. Laura continues, I'm so excited for the cast of New Warriors for Freeform. I know so many of the actors. Yay. A replacement is needed for TW. Teen Wolf? I guess.
I assume.
I'm just going to guess. She's talking about Teen Wolf. And she also asks, are the hype ladies okay after the Doctor Who announcement? I swear I heard a loud hell yes from you all. Yeah.
Yes.
From the world, I think.
I think so. Kelpie says, so Did we decide if this was Okja or
Okja?
Okja. So Okja is a beautiful, yeah, thought-provoking film, but the journey to a happy ending is not an easy one. Oh, because we were asking if the pig died or not. She tweeted us some, yeah, other stuff, but like it is an actual spoiler for how it, for the, yeah, end of it. So I won't read that.
Just me being obnoxious because I like wanted to know for sure. Because she wasn't giving me a straight answer. And I was like, just tell me if the pig dies, regardless.
Do you not understand this saying? Like, is that...
No, I do not.
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
I know it's like a nursery rhyme or something. Like, whatever. I'm not familiar, yeah, enough, yeah, to...
No, that makes, like, sense.
Be confident with that answer.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, thank you, Kelby, for tweeting at us and telling us about it. We won't read the other spoiler ones, but, mm-hmm, yes, much appreciated.
Yeah, and Kelby actually also had an email for us. She said, "Hey, Hypables, fabulous show, and thank you for taking the Desert Island Challenge. Loved your choices, and it made for real fun listening. It's not easy, though, right? It even made Pam say, shit, which I could just listen to on a loop. But I'm sure that your dear listeners, including myself, could have placed each playlist and book choice with every one of you in a blind test. Yes, we know you too well, and the luxury items reveal even more. Great fun. P.S. Smile, my Uncle Cracker is new to me, Selena, but I'm embracing it. Whoa. I'm glad for those, for if you didn't listen to last week's show, then I did put it at the end of the show, so everyone.
Oh, did you?
By force.
Oh, fun. Yes, I was going to say, there was like 24 songs recommended on that, and that's the one you went for. But sure.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. And we have an email here from Meg, possibly a hype record for the longest email we've ever received. But thank you for all your thoughts. Meg says, "Hi, girls. You asked my Supergirl thoughts since I love season 2, and I definitely have them. To me, the show was much more enjoyable on a week-to-week basis. The general plot of the first season was that there were all these evil aliens who were locked up in an alien prison, and now Kara has to fight them. The villains of the week in the second season always had better and more realistic motivations. I found it far more interesting than rather than all being evil, most of the aliens we met in the second season were immigrants trying to live normal lives. That narrative resonated much better with me and provided a much more fleshed out universe. I also like that they took the opportunity to give a nuanced view of a complex issue in American politics and use their platform as a force for change without being too preachy. In the first season, the main point seemed to be, this superhero can kick butt, even though she's a girl. It was too much of a yes and for me. Like, yeah, we know that girls are awesome. We know Kara is incredibly powerful. Stop telling us that. Start showing us something more interesting. What makes Kara a different hero aside from her gender? I felt like season 2 started exploring that. Which brings me to my favorite thing about this season so far, Alex's coming out story and watching her and Kara grow closer because of it. Most stories about apparently straight girls realizing they're gay or bi because of someone special entering their lives focus on the relationship. While that's fine and I loved Sanvers and watching them grow together, Alex's confusion over realizing she was gay, quote, later in life was given its due. I didn't realize I was a lesbian until I was 18, 19, and finally out of an oppressive conservative environment where I was encouraged to shut down my feelings in favor of being accepted and perceived a certain way. Alex's story really resonated with me, and all of her confusion and indecision rang incredibly true to me. Lots of tears over her and Kara figuring it out together. I wouldn't have gotten through my coming out without the support of other women in my life. Also, once they got together, Alex and Maggie were free to be a normal, supporting cast couple. They made out multiple times on screen. They had inside jokes. They were cute, but given deeper storylines, often enough for us to take them seriously. And we saw Maggie working as a detective outside of her relationship with Alex and the DEO. So then I think we've cut a little bit out of this, but it goes on about Mon-El, but Meg says, I found him and Kara kind of cute as an in-the-meantime relationship. Also, whenever they had a legitimate fight, it was always shown that Kara was in the right and Mon-El was the one out of line. They also deliberately made Kara much more powerful than Mon-El. But to finish, Meg says, anyway, I love the podcast and it makes the SoCal freeway driving much more enjoyable. I'm moving to New York in a few weeks and I am looking forward to listening to you girls on the trains once I get there. Thank you so much for being open to my thoughts. Love from Meg. P.S. Part of why my response was delayed. Oh, this is good. Part of why my response was delayed was because I was binging Winona Earp. And oh my God, way hot. Is that how you say it?
Way hot.
Way hot. Yeah. Is my everything. Is that the ship? That's the best ship name. Yeah. It is. It's my everything. And
it's almost like they planned it.
Yeah, amazing. And I think Selena hit the nail on the head for my somewhat mixed feelings about the episode 5 twist, though admittedly, I was able to watch episode 6 immediately after, so that gave me a little more confidence in how it's going to be handled. The way Winona totally broke down in Waverly's arms at the end of 6 gutted me and was what really sold me on this storyline. At the end of the day, I'm with that show for the relationship between the Earp sisters and the way that Dolls, Doc, and Nicole are all there for Winona. So I'm okay with how the show is going forward. Thank you so much for all your thoughts on that, Meg. And yeah. And for all, we cut some of it out, but there was a lot more on Supergirl. Very in-depth. Yeah. We appreciate it.
Yes, and I'm so glad that you sent this in, Meg, because that was what we were saying as well when I sort of presented my very negative opinion on Supergirl and we had someone else do the same. It's like there's always going to be more than one opinion, and it's not, you know, sometimes we are aware that we present one side and there's always another side, so we have to sometimes rely on our listeners to balance us out, and if there's something they disagree with, then please let us know. And Meg definitely did that and articulated some really great points. And I think as for Sanders, it's undoubtedly a really good part of the seat. Like, that is the saving grace of that season. That is really good. And I feel like even though with the future of that sort of unknown, now that we're losing one of the actresses, or she's at least she's not going to be a regular next year, so we don't know what's going to happen with that. But the storyline has been handled really well. And I'm really glad that you are watching Winona Earp, because again, Way Hot is sort of as well going to be a really, really good ship, and it's never going to die. Like 100%, they're never going to kill either of them off or end it, because Emily Andress knows how important it is. And especially in the light of the 100, one of the good things that came out of it is that similar series are realizing that they cannot make the same mistake, so they're not going to. And and I haven't even watched episode 6 of Winona Earp yet, so I'll have to get back to you. But thank you so much for that balanced feedback.
And sorry Pam wasn't here to read it, but I did my best.
I know. I have to make do with your Australian amazing accent. That is. I think people will be okay with that. Okay, so thank you so much for all of your feedback. If you want to let us know anything about anything that we talked about or anything you want us to talk about in future, you can do that by tweeting at HypeableHype. You can find us on Instagram at HypeableHype. You can find us on Tumblr if you want to check us out there, hypepodcast.tumblr.com. You can send us an email, hype@hypeable.com, and you can subscribe to us on Patreon, which is patreon.com/hypepodcast. So that's everything for our regular show. We'll be back next week to hopefully dissect Comic-Con 2017, see what went down, what fun Pam had without us. I'm sure it'll be a lot. Yay, I'm so excited to hear about it.
You'll be fine.
Oh, okay, yeah, we'll be, I'm sure.
You'll get back there.
So, we'll see. Anyway, until next time, on that weird note, my name is Selena.
And I'm Marima. See you guys next week.
That's the end. Bye.